And welcome back to Coast, and he's back. That's right, Dr. John Gray with us. His latest work, Conscious Men. We'll find out all about it when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. John Gray, of course, certified family therapist, counseling editor of the Family Journal, member of the Distinguished Advisory Board of the International Association of Marriage and Family Counselors. He is recognized as an expert in the fields of communication and relationships. You may remember him from his blockbuster, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And from there, it became bigger and bigger and bigger. He's been on live events with me. He's been on Coast to Coast before, and now he is back. If I had a drum roll, John, I'd be beating it right now. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, George. It's such a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
What have you been up to? I haven't talked to you in about a year myself, so what's new with you?
Well, I just finished a book. It's just on Amazon called Conscious Men, a guide to developing 12 qualities of the new masculinity.
Explain that.
Well, it's an interesting topic. Women today are constantly asking me, where are the conscious men?
Where'd they go? Poof.
So I kind of went, what does this mean, conscious men? And it can mean a lot of different things, but basically men who are more conscious are more aware. For example, they don't believe necessarily what they hear on the mass media. They tune into your show, for example. Mm-hmm. These are sort of out-of-the-box ideas. They're willing to look at different things. That's one example. A conscious man is more aware of how he affects other people, particularly, you know, men who would read Men Are From Mars, you know, my famous book.
That's right.
They would realize that, oh, you know, what I've been doing in the relationship I thought was making it better, but actually it can sabotage it. Like when women are talking, men often think, well, let me just fix this for you. Let me explain why you don't need to be upset. And that's not always what women want. So a conscious man is more aware. And what's he aware of is things have changed. You know, what used to make women happy in our relationships doesn't necessarily do it. A conscious man today, just doing what his father did for an occupation, doesn't always make you happy. You want to find something more deep inside, like what is my mission and purpose in this world, but also what makes my heart sing? Where's my passion? What feels good? And I remember many years ago, Robert Bly talking about follow your bliss, but a lot of men, as they follow their bliss, they don't do anything responsible, and they kind of lose out in life. So there has to be kind of a balance. And in the book, I describe that as a balance of the masculine qualities inside of us and the feminine qualities inside of us. And when you look at both sides of who we are, which is now happening more, there's new challenges. And that's what I talk about. What are the new challenges? How you can develop your masculinity while this surging amount of femininity or compassion, empathy, caring about relationships, you know, these are qualities that are becoming more in men. But as they increase, the challenge for men is to stay connected to their masculinity. In a similar way, for women, they're expressing more of their masculine energies. How can they balance that with their female energies? And what I see is that women can't do that. They become overwhelmed. They become higher stress, hard for them to sleep. Mm-hmm. But clearly, it's hard for them to keep feeling the appreciation, the acceptance, the trust that she felt in the beginning of the relationship. For men, we lose our interest, our motivation. It's kind of like we become old men in a sense when we get married. We don't have the same passion or drive. And this isn't every man, but this is the challenges that we have to face as we become more conscious and aware of what's inside of us. We become more aware of our feelings, of our emotions. How do we manage those emotions? How we manage the stress in our life? It's different now than the ways it used to be.
Are men more conscious, or are they somewhat subconscious these days?
Well, I think we're all much more conscious. That's why I wrote this book. Let me give you an example. If you were to go back 100 years ago and you were a young boy going through puberty, and you're American Indian, in your tribe, one of the common things for some is they would take sticks and run it through your breasts. And then they would take a rope and tie it to those sticks, throw it over a limb, and then slowly lift you into the air. And you would have to endure this without crying out. You'd spend all day doing that. Now, the truth is, once you go through the moment of extreme pain, your body makes huge amounts of endorphins. But you learn a lesson, which is that when you're in pain, you don't strike back. That's part of being masculine, which is to contain it. But the more aware we are of our emotional pain, men typically are quick to anger. You know, before, you know, the earlier in the show, you're talking about you never get angry because it doesn't work. It's not productive. That's right. A very conscious man, which is the ability to say, hey, if I'm angry, there's no point to it. You know, when we were monkeys, you intimidate people with anger and you get your way, but that doesn't work anymore. And it surely doesn't work in our relationships. So one of the chapters in Conscious Men is about a conscious man manages his anger. He learns how to diffuse it. And, you know, knowing you, I would say the way you diffuse it is with wisdom.
I try.
Yeah, you try. Sure. But see, a lot of men don't realize that anger doesn't get them what they want. And yet, here's the rub, which is the more conscious a man becomes, the more aware we are of who we are, what we feel inside, the quicker we are to anger if we don't manage it. Because one of the symptoms of men today versus men in the past is, typically speaking, men are more in touch with their emotions. And so we have to be very clear about how to manage those emotions. And women today are, you know, they realize that if they talk out their emotions, if they feel emotional, they express their emotions, they will feel better. So they assume that if a man's upset or withdrawn or distant, they'll tend to ask lots of questions to get him to express what's going on inside. And that often leads to expressions of frustration and anger and arguments result. And women not understanding men can actually pull out the worst of a man, or women understanding men can bring out the best of him. Silence, meditation, relaxation, forgetting your problems, whatever your method of getting there, is one of the important skills for a conscious man. I call it a conscious man takes space. You know, one of the most popular ideas in Men Are From Mars is that, you know, I call it a cave. Men go to their cave. The cave is any situation where you're not actively trying to solve the problems to earn money and protect yourself and so forth, but you're actively doing something. It could be meditating, could be watching a sporting event. But we men, we need to do something to forget our problems. And then we calm down, we relax, we regenerate. And biologically, you can measure this difference. And that's what I really get excited talking about, the biology of all this. Because men, by average, need at least 10 times more testosterone than women. Whenever you're solving problems, testosterone levels go up. And for a man, when testosterone levels go up, his estrogen levels start to go down. But most importantly, his stress levels start to go down. But after a day of facing challenges, he can run out of testosterone. And how do you rebuild the testosterone is to stay awake but forget all your problems so your muscles relax. And when your muscles relax because you're not facing challenges, but they're easy challenges, so you're stimulating the testosterone, you're not using it up, and what happens is you rebuild your reserves of testosterone. But women today, they don't understand this, and they'll often want to get a guy to talk, they want him to share, they want to participate more. And they don't realize that when he's taking that time to pull away, he's actually regenerating himself so that he can then come out of his cave and give more. But if he feels when he comes home that he's not a successful man, that it's very hard for you to rebuild your testosterone. It's success that rebuilds testosterone. Now, why this is very significant is women don't understand this at all, because for women in their own body, they may relate to it somewhat, of course, but in their own body, what lowers stress for women is often talking about their problems, sharing with somebody, communicating with someone, being emotionally connected to someone. That's why they want to ask a lot of questions of him or want to talk a lot, either way. When you do that, where you connect with somebody, you feel more emotion, and the emotions might swell up, but then they settle down. And what's happening biologically is when she shares with someone, her estrogen levels will increase. But most importantly, if she feels heard, then her oxytocin levels increase, and that lowers her stress. And this is all like new science, and it's wonderful to understand this hormonal difference, because then we can start using this insight to regulate stress more effectively in our lives. You know, George, you're hanging out with you. You feel calm. You feel peaceful. That's the wisdom that you've gained over your life, being a conscious man, recognizing, you know, how I affect other people and how productive am I going to be. So what happens is we shift as when we're conscious, from a world where everything is about good and bad, right and wrong, to a place of more inclusiveness, more acceptance, more allowing, and you behave based upon what works and what doesn't work. And gradually you develop a wisdom to know, well, okay, what can I change, what can I not change? And when you get to that level, then you feel a lot of love. You love your work, you love your coworkers, you love the people you work for, you love your spouses, your children. That's the place where love flourishes. But when we drop down into this place of you did this to me, so I'm going to do that to you, and you're right, and I'm right, you're wrong, the battles, we need to realize this is like a part of our brain is being activated. It's very primitive, often called the limbic system, and we activate the prefrontal cortex. That's where we have self-reflection, and that's what we want to develop is the ability to self-reflect. I have an automatic reaction that's unconscious. It's automatic. It's been programmed in. It's conditioned in. And when that reaction occurs, I don't have to act on it. I can be aware of it. And as I'm aware of it, it doesn't rule me. Then I can make a choice on what works and what doesn't work. So that's kind of like some of the challenges of a conscious man.
If a man doesn't understand this, John, what does he do? Does he fail in life?
Well, there's a variety of things that happen. He when he's too much on his female side, he can become angry, and he has too much anger in his life. That can destroy the passion in his relationships, because when you have anger, people around you close down. Because today, we don't want to. Success is not measured by how you can control everybody. It's measured by how you can control yourself and how you can provide greater support. It's not like we live in a little community where the biggest guy who beats everybody up can win. It's like you can just, go somewhere else, and you can also access support on the internet and so forth. We're expanded. We're a global community. So people go where they feel trust. And when anger is expressed, particularly when men do it, it scares the heck out of women, and they start to shut down. They stop feeling open. They feel like they have to walk on eggshells. So that's one example of what anger does. When men become overly emotional as well, they can, some men, depending upon maybe our numerological number, but it could also be our conditioning in childhood, our basic tendency, some men will become more anxious. So anxiety leads to procrastination, and procrastination really holds us back from being successful. And many people sort of eat themselves into a kind of numbness, or take drugs to go into a kind of numbness so they don't feel their fear of failure. Because, the soul always wants to move forward. It wants to achieve more, have more. The male energy inside of us wants to be more and more successful. It wants to make a difference in the world, wants to contribute more. The female energy inside of us wants more loving relationships, more fun, more connection, and that creates happiness. That's the irony of this. Success really doesn't create happiness. Success creates a thought, which is now I can love someone, now I can share what I have with someone, and that's the love. It's the love that creates happiness. So we need to find this balance of the masculine and feminine within us. And, kind of the whole basis of all this for me was first developing the awareness of how men and women are different, and then realizing that if we don't understand this, it creates unnecessary conflict in our relationships and in our work, but it also holds us back from expressing our unique self. One other thought on this, Georgia, when you're talking about what's the downfall of men becoming too emotional, is the men who tend to go into anger, they often think that they're being very manly. I'm in control. Sure. It's actually a sign of insecurity when you have to get angry and you're being emotional. You don't feel confident at that moment, so you have to build yourself up into a kind of terrifying force, so to speak. And this is an automatic pattern. This is something that's conditioned into the brain. It's something we learn as children. If our parents, one of them, use anger to get their way, it just becomes an imprint. So you're not going to suddenly change that imprint, but what you can do is not act on it and then take time to, by not acting on it, you're gaining control of it, and then you can start to transform it. But the first step is not acting on it. And the wonderful point, when you get to the biology of this stuff, men feel like, I'm a man, I get angry. Actually, hormonally, what's occurring when a man gets angry is his testosterone, the hormone that lowers his stress, the masculine hormone that men need 10 to 50 times more than women. It's what lowers our stress. It builds our self-esteem, or at least it's associated with all those positive feelings of a man, his happiness and so forth, is when testosterone, when a man feels challenged and he doesn't feel confident, then an enzyme gets produced called aromatase. And aromatase converts his testosterone into estrogen. So when men are angry, actually the female hormones are surging in his body and the testosterone is actually going down. So I love looking at that way, because what a man wants to do today is, in spite of all this easy access to feminine energies, we want to build our masculine energy. And women can understand this in conscious men, that you want to help strengthen his masculinity, not encourage his femininity. For example, a woman, you know, goes to her husband, he's in his cave, she says, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? What's going on inside? She's actually trying to, unknowingly, she's increasing his female energy. And that's what you don't want to do. You want to encourage man's masculine energy through appreciation, through acknowledgement, for asking for help, but acceptance and forgiveness for him not being perfect. These are qualities of femininity, which is the ability to love, to embrace, to not expect or demand perfection. When women are too much on their male side, actually their testosterone levels are higher, their estrogen levels go down, their ability to manage stress goes down, they can't enjoy their lives as much. They feel overwhelmed, they feel stressed, but what goes along with that is the inability to just appreciate a man, you know, delight in what he offers her, rather the brain focuses on what's not there. And that's what creates a lot of problems in our relationships and keeps us from being happy.
John, I'm noticing right now that people are more stressed out and more whacked out than ever before. Are you sensing that too?
Oh, not only sensing it, but there's research showing it, and that our stress level and stress, you know, we talk about stress, people think of problems and difficulties, not enough money, or you're out of work, and all those things are stressful stimulators. But actual stress is how we respond to those circumstances. When you're rushing around, if you have a disappointment, you don't get what you want, what happens is that's a situation outside of you. But how do you respond to it? How are you able to cope with stress effectively? And if we measure this, it's a hormone called cortisol. There's actually two stress hormones. Mm-hmm. First is adrenaline. And adrenaline is when things are not that stressed. We'll call it little stress. Adrenaline gets produced. And for women, when adrenaline gets produced under little stress, they become more emotional, actually 8 times more emotion under little stress, whereas for men, under little stress, they become unemotional. If they have any emotions, they tend to go away. That's when you're sort of pondering a problem, thinking about it, you don't want to talk about it yet, you want to consider it. That's actually testosterone levels starting to surge to give your brain more energy, more focus, to give your body faster reaction time, to create a sense of calmness so you can make a good decision without the emotions. So that's the first stress. I mean, the first stage of little stress is men become detached, women become more emotional. Second level of stress is cortisol. And you can measure now that women's cortisol levels are now rising. They used to be lower than men's. Now women's cortisol level in the workplace, on average, this doesn't mean every woman, but this is an average, is it's twice as high as a man's in the workplace. And when she returns home, if she works outside the home, her cortisol levels double. And so they're 4 times higher than a man's. This is really what's happening. And, you know, we look at health, which is, you know that's a big function, a focus for me.
Sure, huge.
15 years ago, having Parkinson's, I had to get rid of that, and that was stress that caused that, as well as, you know, other nutritional deficiencies.
Hold on for a second, John. Already at the break. We shall be back. And welcome back to Coast with Dr. John Gray, his latest work, Conscious Men. And, John, where do we get this book? I assume it's everywhere, knowing you.
Well, right now, you can find it at Amazon. And get the download of it, or you can get the book and they'll mail it out to you.
Super. Okay, let's get back to these strange, whacked out people, stressed out people. What's causing it? Is it environmental, you know, worries about terrorism? What is it?
Well, it's like a wheel with many spokes in the wheel. You know, my approach is very holistic. From one perspective, when men are stressed out, you can measure their hormones. What will happen is their estrogen levels are higher, their testosterone levels are lower. Now, that's actually the biological thing that's going on. What's going on in your mind is other things, too, and mind is one spoke of the wheel. And there's lots of programs to help think differently, behave differently, change your conditioning. But if you don't handle the biology that goes along with it, change is fleeting. You might, you know, practice affirmations. You might try good communication skills. But when circumstances challenge you over a period of time, if you don't have enough nutrition, your body can't actually make the molecules necessary to support higher consciousness. So if for men particularly, we have to focus on lowering our estrogen levels and raising our testosterone levels. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
The average man who's 50 years old, his testosterone levels are half what they used to be. Now, if you go to indigenous societies where people are not exposed to GMOs, where they're not exposed to food which was grown with pesticides, where they've never taken antibiotics, you know, what happens is men have what we might call high testosterone their entire life. It doesn't drop just because you get to 50 years old. Your average man today, it starts to dropping at 35 years old. Now, I'm in 64, and my testosterone levels are the same as they were when I was younger, and I know how I got there. So there's techniques to help restore that. You know, for me, it's making sure I take enough cave time. I work hard, I feel confident, I have a skill, and then I take time to relax and enjoy myself. You've got to have that alternating of working hard and enjoying yourself, but you have to have the right nutrition as well. You have to have that healthy gut. You have to have right on all your vitamins. You know, but we're being exposed with all, even a good diet. We have so much exposure to toxicity. A man's body registers toxicity as estrogen. So even if you're not eating estrogen-producing foods, just if you're getting pesticides in your body thinks of that as an estrogen. It's called xenoestrogen. So there's ways to reduce the estrogen in men and raise the testosterone. You know, I love, you know, my favorite herb to help boost testosterone is Tongkat Ali. It's an ancient herb. It's like grows out of the ground from potato, a kind of a potato plant. And it's most popular, most grown around Bangkok in Malaysia. And of course, there's more sex going on there than anywhere else in the world. And it actually grows there.
They're popping those supplements like crazy.
Yeah, huh? It just happens to be it grows there. Well, you don't have to pop them like crazy. You just take a few for a while, and you rebuild your testosterone levels, and you practice behavioral techniques to work hard. And I talk about that in the book, which is, you know, make promises, set goals, and always achieve them. If you can't, you can't, then reset them. But you know, don't let emotions control you. When men express too much emotion, they're actually increasing their body's tendency to create estrogen. Your testosterone is more cool, calm, collected, and it's not so much dependent on what people think of you. It's more dependent on what you think of yourself and what you do and your own sense of integrity. So there's a lot of things that help build testosterone, but biologically, taking some good herbs is one way, along with taking some herbs, Chinese herbs, there's a lot of herbs that help kick estrogen out of the body. They help the liver to remove it. Myomin is one of my favorite ones. So those are some good things for men. But when you look at just stress, when you're feeling stressed, there's also other things going on in the brain, which is your brain is often not making enough serotonin. When men become emotional, that's that second level of stress. When cortisol goes up, then we start becoming emotional.
And
that's only when we lose confidence, when we don't know how to solve a problem. And this happens for a married man. He could be the most successful man in the work world, come home, and his wife's unhappy, and he doesn't know what to do. What he instinctively does doesn't work. And just that sense of, I can't make her happy like I used to be able to in the beginning. That tendency of not understanding women can be the biggest stressor in a man's life.
And he'll do reckless things.
He acts without thinking. When you have strong emotions, you act without thinking. And you also put up walls. You know, to a certain extent, men will say, I just don't care anymore. And when you stop caring, you lose that motivation, your testosterone levels will start to drop. Or just simply being exposed to xenoestrogens every day. It just causes our testosterone levels to drop. It's kind of like what you think affects the biology, but your biology affects the way you think. We know that. You can take a pill, and it'll completely change the way you think. Take a drug that makes you high, you just changed your biology, and your attitude completely changed. Likewise, you know, when you change your attitude, your biology will change, but for your biology to change, you have to have the right nutritional support, and our food just really doesn't have it all today. And the toxicity affects us tremendously. And drugs are the most toxic thing, whether they be recreational or whether they be prescribed drugs. They're prescribed because they all, this is why a drug has to be prescribed by a doctor, because they all have toxic side effects on the body. Now, they can save lives sometimes, but you want to do whatever you can to start finding the natural solutions for health. So when it comes to stress, when we're stressed, we're depleting the brain of serotonin. So there's certain things that help us to increase the production of serotonin in the brain. And one of them is probably the cheapest supplement you can ever buy, and it's called lithium, but not lithium the kind that psychiatrists give.
It's right, not the pharmaceutical.
Not the pharmaceutical, but low-dose lithium orotate, when you're stressed, will immediately have an effect of letting it go if you have other nutrients in your body.
Is the drug made from it? Is it the synthetic version of that?
Well, the drug lithium is actually the reason they call it a drug. It's lithium carbonate. And lithium carbonate, the lithium does not cross the blood-brain barrier where it needs to go in order to make the serotonin.
Ah.
So what psychiatrists give for bipolar and schizophrenia, and they only use it in extreme cases because lithium carbonate is inefficient. It doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. So they have to give you 50 to 500 times the amount of, that your body actually requires. And any good thing becomes toxic when you take too much of it. And basically, lithium is a salt. So what happens is you give your body too much salt, it's going to have side effects. So that's why they only give it in extreme cases. And it's very good, except that it suppresses your thyroid function if you take 500 times the dose. So low-dose lithium orotate works efficiently at low doses. So you're only taking like 5 to 10, 15 milligrams, just a tiny, tiny bit. And it's bonded to something called orotic acid, which is in mother's milk, also in cow's milk. But it's a substance that they mine up the lithium. They blend it with this delivery system that carries it into the brain. But sometimes just the lithium alone doesn't do the trick, because you need other minerals as well to cross the blood-brain barrier. It just depends on the person. Calcium orotate will take away hunger cravings. It gets into the brain. Magnesium orotate is necessary in order to allow vitamin D to function in the brain. And vitamin D and lithium both regulate calcium absorption. And when the cells cannot properly absorb calcium, it's not just that you get arthritis, it's not just that you get bone degeneration, but it also causes mood problems. You get stuck in a mood. That's the thing that happens to people, is they get depressed and they stay depressed. They get angry, they hold on to it. And this has to do with, literally, on the biological level, in any of this pathology, vitamin D is not fully functioning. Vitamin D regulates the calcium absorption, and lithium helps pull the calcium out of the cells. So you've got to have this nice balance, and they work together. Now, since I talked with you last, this huge amount of research has been happening on something called glycoproteins, and one of them is called GCMAF. And what they find is that people with cancer don't have any GCMAF in their body. People who have autism don't have any GCMAF in their body. And it's very clear association between this glycoprotein that actually activates vitamin D and lithium to do its job more effectively.
Interesting. Could vaccines augment that too?
Oh my gosh, what vaccines do? Oh my, what vaccines are doing is when you take a vaccine, you're putting into your bloodstream heavy metals. Every vaccine at least has aluminum. Many of them, the flu vaccines, have mercury. You're putting into your body formaldehyde. You're putting in your body a sorbitol. When sorbitol opens up the blood-brain barrier, and those toxic substances go right into your brain. Even MSG, if it gets into your brain, kills brain cells. Now, here's something very interesting, which is another thing I like about lithium. Lithium is proven to regenerate brain cells, and lithium has been proven, you take brain cells in a dish and you add MSG. MSG is called an excitotoxin. It will cause brain cells to vibrate really fast, and they die. They prematurely die. And if you soak those brain cells for 9 days with lithium, you add MSG, it doesn't affect the brain cells at all. It's amazing. It's a neuroprotector, and it's a neuroregenerator, and it also is a cofactor in making serotonin to help calm our brain. So whenever we've been under a lot of stress, we've actually depleted ourselves of lithium and other things as well.
So stress does indeed kill, John, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Every health condition is associated with with some version of chronic stress. And it can show up in different ways. It may be that your adrenal gland becomes so stressed that you run out of cortisol, so your body no longer makes cortisol. But when your cortisol levels are elevated, what occurs is your body stops making white blood cells. And that's why cancer can grow in your body, is your body is no longer able to attack the cancer that's growing. And once cancer gets a hold in your body due to stress, then those little cancer cells, they put a protective
covering around them.
A mucousy covering around them. And that mucousy covering is like a shield. It's a cloaking device, and the immune system can't find it. Now, this GCMAF protein, it's a protein that's made by your gut. What happens is if your body makes this protein and vitamin D, combined with vitamin D and lithium, then what occurs is your immune system can break through the cloaking device. So in the last few years, it's very controversial. There's a lot of controversy about this protein and different ways of making the protein. What I like is not the laboratory version of a GCMF, because that's some laboratory that's making it and then you put it in your bloodstream. It comes from, it's one way of doing it. It's very complicated. It's man-made. There's also what was discovered by a doctor named Dr. Ruggiero and his wife, is that if you combine 42 natural probiotics, okay, we all know the value of probiotics for our gut. If you combine these 42 probiotics with colostrum and some milk, it will make GCMAF. So it's a yogurt. Actually, you just make a homemade yogurt. It's all natural. You don't need FDA approvals or anything. And you can just make it at home. And people get amazing results. I hear people who have, arthritic conditions. I have people with cancer who, the doctors say they should die. And, of course, they're going on good diets. There's no one simple pill that does everything. But quite often with mood, with energy levels, with brain function, one of the reasons the brain, when it's stressed, it causes the degeneration. The brain is designed to come back, to grow. But in order for it to do that, vitamin D has to work. And GCMAF, lithium, vitamin K2, these things all work together to help regulate mood, to help every single part of the body restore itself when we're being affected by stress.
John, when you were putting all this together, of course, you were, I think, years ahead of some mainstream medicine, years ahead. How did this happen? How did you do this? How did you learn this?
Well, my whole life's been dedicated to helping people have better relationships and understanding the gender differences. I'm a good researcher. And then when I turned 50, that was 14 years ago, I had Parkinson's, and I had to figure out what caused it and how to heal it. And, they spend billions of dollars today trying to figure out a solution to Parkinson's. And I point out, hey, here's the solution. But what they're looking for is a way to find a drug that you can sell that will solve the problem instead of something somebody can do on their own. There is some research by Dr. Hintz that I have at my website under Parkinson's section where he shows natural supplements can do much, 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 much better than what the medical community is doing. Anybody who takes carbidopa for Parkinson's only makes the condition worse. It knocks out the vitamin B in your body, and the brain can't regenerate itself without vitamin B6. So people just go downhill very quickly. He points out his solution. My solution is a little bit more organic and natural, but his is supplements. It's still, they're solutions that don't have side effects. That's what I like. And his is basically you take Macuna perens, which is L-DOPA, which is from a bean. You take 5-HTP, which stimulates serotonin. You take tryptophan, which stimulates dopamine. And these two things compete with each other. So if ever you take tryptophan, or if you ever take tyrosine and 5-HTP, they compete for serotonin and dopamine. You have to have the right balance. So it's always like a 10-to-1 ratio. And that's all on my website. And then you take something called NAC, cysteine, and that helps your liver to make glutathione. Now, all this is, outlined on my website. I also wrote a book called Staying Focused in a Hyper World, Natural Solutions for ADD, Memory, Brain Function. Now that, people can get a free download at marsvenus.com. That's still available. Or they can get the full book at amazon.com. And I explain how all of these health conditions, when I had Parkinson's, I brought in all these really brilliant scientists to my wellness seminars to teach this stuff and learn how to learn all this stuff. But my big motivation, besides being healthy and vibrant as I get older, is it makes relationships better. It's hard to be in a successful relationship if you're a man and you don't have a libido, if you don't have a sense of aliveness and passion, if your testosterone levels are low, if your brain is foggy and you lose your motivation. For women, I mean, they become overwhelmed, they become stressed out. The same things is to help increase oxytocin, you know, lithium orotate have huge impact with all the other orotates together. There's, you know, 5-HTP and tyrosine for women can help them as well when you do it in the right balance. So when you don't have the right balanced brain chemistry, you don't sleep. And when you don't sleep, it's really hard for the body to regenerate as well. So all these things come together. So I feel that people just need to be educated. So, you know, I put together like a 12-minute video on every single health condition, which is how we tend to get these things and what we can do about it in a natural way without having to take drugs which have negative side effects.
Interesting take, John. And you're convinced that with just a little alteration of some supplements, altering some of the chemical imbalances, it could put people right back into a gear, basically?
Oh, yeah. It's proven. And, you know, most people, we don't hear the research in the media. So, you know, I have 80 pages of resources. Most of my books are just me talking. But once I got into this, I had to, like, spend more time finding all the resources and putting it down, showing the evidence, you know, like with ADD or inability to focus and memory, there's so many natural supplements that outdo the drugs. But the drugs, even if they're effective, they always have the downstream side effects that on the long term make the condition worse. And, you know, so as a man, as a conscious man, ironically, you have more risk of illness. Now, check this out, because if you're a man, if you're under stress, you tend to go, the more conscious you are, there's a tendency of automatic estrogen increasing. And for women who are more conscious, they become more independent because now they have more access to their masculine energies. And that throws off the hormonal balance. And so we're seeing all these hormonal problems, you know, with one-third of women today not being able to get pregnant, having to go to a doctor to help the couple get pregnant. This is all due to hormonal imbalance. And I wrote a whole book on menopause, you know, this whole thing that happens to women. If you go to indigenous tribes, they don't go through the menopausal symptoms. Around 70 years old, they actually have menopause, but they don't have hot flashes. They don't want to kill their husband. They don't want to get a divorce. You know, all these increasing stress happens due to hormonal imbalance, and we understand the hormones, then we can find balance and without having to take hormones. Now, I know many people take hormones, and it's expensive, it takes a lot of regulation, and if it's not done just right, you have terrible side effects. But in the end, your body can make those hormones if you learn how to do it. You have to learn the behavioral skills as well as provide the extra nutrition. You know, sometimes with a child with ADHD, you just take them off of dairy and take them off of bread and no soy products, and then you give them extra vitamin C, high doses of vitamin C, and something called pycnogenol or something called grapeseed extract. These are super antioxidants that work in the brain, and he'll focus again. If he has the kind of problem where he's become easily distressed and emotionally irritable, you add to that some, you know, some of the super minerals that are bonded to orotic acid, the lithium and the other ones, and you'll see results in a week. I've been doing this 15 years, and I got, you know, all this positive feedback from people because there are natural solutions.
And it works. John, we're going to come back with a final hour and phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.